We started recording, so for the purposes of voice recognition for the transcriber, I'm going to ask that we each state our name and interview role. So I'm Calvin Zong, and I am the interviewer.
I'm Catherine Fenneman. I'm the interviewee.
Right, and so we needed to ensure informed consent, and I'm going to read the consent statement. The Co-Design Studio Youth Activism Interview Project was explained to me, and I agreed to participate in this interview. I've received a copy of the consent agreement, and I understand I am free to withdraw at any time. If you agree, please state your name and say that you consent to this interview.
Catherine Fenneman, I consent to this interview.
Thank you so much,
Sure.
and thanks for having me today. So as you know, we're interviewing organizations dealing with issues of gentrification, displacement, and the right to the city in Central Square in Area 4. We're excited to be in touch with an organization that may have a different take on these issues. So could you tell us more about your activist work and how you personally got started as an activist?
Sure. That's a good question. How I got started. So I am a Korean adoptee who grew up in a predominantly white and rural area. And so I think from a very, very early age, I understood that there were vast differences in the world and that people's life outcomes were too often influenced by structural racism, structural inequalities within our society. And I think I internalized that from a very early age, and just since then, I've been really dedicated to making sure that people have access, that all people have access to opportunities, that it's not just people with money or people of a certain race or people in a certain geographic area, but the idea that all people are worthy of having the same opportunities.
Great. And so I actually got forwarded your email from the Cambridge Community Foundation, as you know, and they spoke a lot about how there's a lot of tension between the tech and biotech side of Cambridge, and the side that's kind of getting disenfranchised and not being given these opportunities. So do you want to talk about your experiences with that tension and kind of how the organization is involved with
Sure,
dealing with that?
sure. So we are a local nonprofit. We have been based in this neighborhood since the 60s. So we were founded by a group of mothers in 1964. And that actually stemmed out of, so the mothers in the neighborhood wanted more educational opportunity for their children. And they reached out to a student group over at MIT who had been inspired by President Johnson's War on Poverty movement. And they wanted to do more within their own community. We've been a very community-based organization throughout our entire 53 years of existence, and we provide free after-school tutoring and mentoring programs to over 200 students per year. All of our programs are offered free of charge because we believe that all young people deserve access to educational opportunity. And at the same time, we've been really fortunate to be so very close to MIT and now to Kendall Square, because with the volunteers that we're interacting with, it's also an educational experience for them to be able to see this other side of the community that most of the time they don't see. You know, if you're not from here or if you're just coming into Kendall to go to work, all you see are the giant shining buildings and the booming industry and the fancy restaurants, and everything seems great. And sandwiched right up against the edge of Kendall Square is this community that's been lively and vibrant and diverse and a home to immigrants and a home to so many families, that's feeling very disconnected from the growth that's happening over there. So the poverty rate in Cambridge is higher than the state as a whole, which people are astounded by because they hear Cambridge and they think, oh, Harvard, MIT, Kendall Square, everything's great over there. And it is a great city. It's a great place to be. There's so much innovation and learning. The city itself is very financially sound. And on the flip side of that, there are so many families living in poverty and living with income insecurity. I think right now trying to remember the statistic, and I probably won't off the top of my head. But to be able to afford a market rate one bedroom apartment in Cambridge, you need to be making like $80,000 per year. And that's for a one bedroom apartment. In thinking about families with two or three kids, being able to afford an apartment in Cambridge is just not even an option. And so we have so many families who are dealing with financial insecurity because so much of their income is going to rent that there's not enough left over to meet other basic needs. Food, heating in the wintertime, it's a huge cost. And after school opportunities. And so that's in large part where we come in and where we see one of our key roles.
Awesome. So what do you think are some of your biggest challenges here dealing with those issues?
I think the separateness of the different parts of the community is a huge challenge. Again, it's very easy to live out in the suburbs and to drive into Cambridge to work and go to work and just have no idea what's going on within the community. Because then at the end of the day, you just get back into your car and you drive back home. And you're not face-to-face seeing how the sector is booming and its companies are making money, they're being innovative, they're contributing greatly to our society and to our community. And it's also, adding to the increase in the cost of living across the city. And so being able to see that and understand that, I think, is a huge piece of it, that there's just not that awareness. And it's too easy to not be able to see
right.
it.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that one of your goals is kind of prepare the community to kind of be involved in institutions like MIT and Harvard? Is it, because it does seem kind of inaccessible to have institutions like MIT and Harvard right next to kind of these neighborhoods. So is that one of your goals? Kind of.
Absolutely. We want our young people to be able to look around their own community, to see the educational opportunities, to be able to say, yeah, I could go to MIT someday. I could go to Harvard someday. I could work at Biogen. Mm-hmm. I could work at Novartis. And one of the key ways that we do that is through our volunteers. We have a lot of volunteers from all of those corporations and institutions that I just named. And then we also work to set up field trips. And again, just because our students live here doesn't mean that they feel like they have a right or access to be able to go over to the MIT campus and to walk into one of the public exhibits. Because even, again, it's public, and they should be able to feel like they can walk in there. But, it's this big glass fancy building that doesn't really say you are welcome here.
So what are some victories that you've seen?
So I think, tied to that with our field trips, it is just amazing when our students have that moment of just like, yeah, I'm yeah. I'm going to come here and I'm going to be the person who is working in this lab. And similarly with our volunteers, when they have that moment of like, huh, wow, okay, there's a lot going on here. I need to educate myself and get more involved and to also see what my corporation and company can do and is doing to help support the local community. So those, to me, are the biggest wins that we have when we see that separateness, that kind of barrier in between the two sides is broken down, and that both the volunteers are coming to our side and our students are going to the corporate side.
Right. Yeah, that's wonderful. So imagine that it's 2030 and you've been successful beyond your wildest dreams. Thinking very optimistically, you've won a huge victory. Mm-hmm. What have you won? And if there was a headline in the Boston Globe about it, what would you like it to be?
Huh. That's a good question. I'm not good at headlines, but I think our big victory would be that childhood poverty is eliminated in Cambridge. I think in a city and a community with this many resources and this much innovation and learning going on, that this is possible. It's just a matter of getting people mobilized behind it.
Right. So you've already touched upon this. So what do you think are some of the barriers, other barriers, kind of not the metaphorical barriers, but
yeah.
the physical ones to getting to that point?
Mm-hmm. I think it takes... I've always disliked the term political will, but but I suppose that would be appropriate to use. And political will coming from all of the different sectors. Mm-hmm. I think that's the real key to this. That, of course, there's like the city council, but then there's also the corporate sector, and they don't necessarily have a unified voice. And so if one corporation steps up and is like, yes, I'm going to get behind this initiative, that doesn't mean that every single other corporation is then also going to step up and get behind it as well. So I think figuring out how to mobilize around the idea as a win-win. You know, not that it's like, oh, we're going to get involved because we're great people. Look at us. Yeah. But being able to say, we're going to get involved because this is the community that we've set our business down in. And if this community is thriving, then we as a business will also thrive. So getting to that point, because once it's a case of, mutual self-interest. It's not just like, I'm going to be altruistic and come in and like do this good thing one time. But really developing the mindset that this is beneficial to everybody and will also take a lot of concerted effort to get to.
Great. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to share your thoughts and experiences with us today. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stop the recorder.
Mm-hmm.
And we would also like to take 3 photos to represent this interview, if that's possible.
Sure.